You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Stephen Powell, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. It's Hexham, Southwell and Wolverhampton, so plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to preview the best of the action is Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I am very well, thank you.
Good, good man. Going to have a quick look through the Monday jury before we get stuck into Tuesday's racing. Six questions posed by the Racing Post. We'll have a quick go through those. What did you make of, before we get stuck into that, Rory? We obviously had Dubai World Cup night in Maidan. Some decent stuff on the domestic front as well. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, it was okay. I'm not a real fan of Maidan. You know, the Dubai World Cup. I think it's a great night or afternoon. Or morning, even as it kicks off before noon, in terms of seeing some top class action, but the form doesn't tend to translate through the summer, and you know we get year on year we get carried away by horses who do really well in Dubai in March, who've been on the go since January there, and they don't always show the same kind of form when coming back when coming back to Europe essentially. So I'm a little bit of a cynic in terms of the Dubai World Cup, but
okay, we'll get some interesting answers to some of these questions. Yeah. Then first of the questions, just how good do you think Arrogate is after his stunning victory in Dubai? It was stunning to watch, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah, I did see someone say he's just been trees. Anything could have won that race. but he was spectacular. And again, this is how you find out how good your champions are. You put them in a situation where things go wrong.
Yeah.
And see if they can get out of it. And, you know, things went horribly wrong for him. He must have been bumped four or five times coming out of the stalls. Mm. It wasn't just one piece of interference. He was consistently squeezed by the horses either side of him through and stumbled briefly. I found himself in a very bad position in a race that wasn't run particularly fast. I know that the dirt track at Maidan wouldn't particularly favour front runners, but the runner-up got the run of the race, travelled really easily and didn't go too hard, and Arrogate's picked him up as if he was standing still. It was an absolutely remarkable performance and shows that he really is something very special. It's incredible to think that he's now the highest ever earner in the sport.
Yeah.
And yet, if you asked someone a year ago about him, even his trainer might not have known who he was. He hadn't even made his debut at this stage. So he wasn't in consideration for the American Triple Crown. And you know, he made his debut late, and he's progressed tremendously in that time since. And it's absolutely bizarre that in a matter of 6 months or so, a horse can win enough prize money to be the leading money earner of all time, which is bizarre. Obviously, we need to see more of him, not to find out how good he is, but if you're making your mark as an all time great, you need to be around for a certain period of time. You can't sort of blaze a trail for 2 months and then hope that you're going to be remembered for all time. So he does deserve to be up there with the best of the last 50-odd years. It's strange, though, isn't it, that we've seen so many very, very good horses in the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, horses we were talking of as, you know, up there with the very greats, and now they're being brushed aside. Some of them, you know, where obviously no one wants to suggest that Arrogate's better than Frankel, for example. But I think you do have to start going back to the likes of Secretariat, and I think a lot of people said in the States they're saying he's the best since Secretariat, and that's a remarkable thing to say. And no one would ever, there are very few people in the States who would ever put anything in front of Secretariat unless they're old enough to remember Man of War or something like that. And I think he got that call in the Dubai World Cup. But yeah, he's exceptionally good, and I've there's no reason to crab that performance at all. But hopefully we'll see him for another full season. I'd hope they'd go for another British Cup Classic with him.
Yeah, reports I've read this morning suggesting that he'll have a little bit of a break now and then come back to try and defend his British Cup Classic crown.
So. Yeah, because he won that, what do they call it, the new race in the States in January.
The Pegasus World Cup. Yeah.
Which was, I mean, that's how he's become the leading owner. Yeah. That was worth just a ridiculous amount of money. And of course, now the Dubai World Cup is probably going to increase in value because Sheikh Mohammed doesn't like to be second-guessed by anyone. So it makes sense to go for those two races again if he wants to, but he's torn them apart this time around, and it'd be great to see him. It'd be lovely to see him here, but it's not going to happen, is it?
No, I don't think so. Unfortunately not. How do you see the middle distance division following Jack Hobbs' Shima Classic win?
Yeah, I haven't a clue is the answer to that. And I think very few do. We don't know who the leading three-year-olds are going to be. We've got absolutely no idea at that stage. Jack Hobbs is possibly still fragile. John Gosden has said that, you know, his sire, who he trained, was quite a fragile horse. He was only at his best. And obviously, on his first start as a four-year-old, he picked up a hairline fracture of the pelvis. And his ability to handle fast ground is a worry. So obviously, if we get a half-decent summer and he's racing on quick grounds here, then that would have to be a concern for him. And of course, this is a real case of recency bias. There are lots of top-class horses that we've seen in the last year and horses who will develop in top-class horses through the summer. And because we've seen him in action in the last week, he's suddenly the one they've all got to beat. But, you know, he wouldn't have been top of anyone's list going into Saturday's action in terms of the summer. And there's an awful lot to happen, so I've got no idea, really.
Fair enough.
If Almanzor, you know, is in the form that he was last season and they crack on with him, then, you know, he was exceptional last year.
Yeah, yeah. And he is Antipo's favourite for the arc this time around as well, Almanzor, at the moment. 6-1 with us, by the way. Almanzor not quoted Jack Hobbs at this point. Arrogate aside, which maiden runner would you like to... Maiden runner, I should say. That sounded almost like I said maiden. Runner would you most like to see at Royal Ascot?
Again, I'm inclined to say I couldn't give a monkeys. But there are horses who ran there who I really like. Ribchester would be probably top of that list. Although he ran an absolute cracker in the QE2 last back end. He improved all through last season. He didn't get the credit he deserves, probably because he's trained by Richard Fahy. He suggested he stayed 1.25 miles on Saturday. But his form at a mile is absolutely top notch, and he's the type to thrive and progress again this year. So Royal Ascot clearly on his agenda.
Okay. Fourth question, who do you fancy for the Lincoln? We've got betting out on site for the Lincoln already. Miranda, 5-1 favourites, ahead of Yufton, who's 7-1. Sacred Act, 10-1. Donsha is 11s. I don't think I've pronounced that right. Is it Donasha?
I'd say Donoha, Donoha O'Brien, yeah. Although there's an A missing there, but that's another alternative spelling of that name.
Okay. Ballet Concerto is 12-1, 12-1 for Nimmer, 14-1 Chelsea Lad, and 16s Bar Those. Any thoughts on the Lincoln?
Yeah, well, I had a quick look at the Lincoln, and the last I saw of it, there's 107 horses in it. Anyone who thinks they've got one tied down for that needs their head examined, quite frankly. We don't know what the going is going to be like. We don't know what the draw is going to do, and those are two massive factors in there. And we've got no idea who's going to sneak into the bottom of the weights. So it's an absolutely horrible race to look at. It's a bookmaker's dream, the Lincoln.
It's a bit of a guessing game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive guessing game. People say the National's a lottery. The National, you've got a fair chance of getting the winner off. The Lincoln, you're relying on rumours on how much horses have improved from one season to another, and whether they'll handle the ground, and whether the going description's accurate, and whether the draw bias has switched from last year, etc., etc. It's an interesting race if you're trying to dig out a 50-1 winner, but it's one where the punter, I think, is struggling a little bit. And with 107 runners at this stage, it doesn't get any easier.
Yeah, we'll wait till that's maybe whittled down a little bit more before we get stuck into the Lincoln. Who's your trainer and jockey to follow this season?
Hugo Palmer and Josie Gordon, I suppose. In that they teamed up well last year, and she's now formally attached to the yard. She will get a lot of rides from Hugo Palmer. Hugo's team has increased as well since last season. He exceeded expectations, I suppose, last year, and he's now got a very, very big yard. So I'm not suggesting back either of them blind, but I think their fates are inextricably linked. She's been really impressive, not just in winning the apprentice title last season, but in the meantime, her riding on the all-weather over the winter has been exceptional as well. And she really could throw down half a challenge to the men in terms of the championship. We don't really think she's going to win that. No woman's got close to it. But she has the ethic, the ability, and the connections now to do much better than Hayley Turner did. And obviously, Hayley rode a couple of Group 1 winners. So Josie's in a great position to step up a gear from that, and that'll be worth watching this season.
Okay. Hayley passed 100 years in one season, didn't she? 100 winners in one season. Yeah. Do you think Josephine Gordon's up to that kind of level?
Yes. Yeah, I think she should do it this season, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right, okay. Good stuff. Final question then. Name a flat horse or two to follow in 2017.
No.
No.
I did. I've written a horses to follow piece for the Irish Racing Yearbook a few months ago, and I can't even remember what I put in that. I'm still very much in jumps mode, and I haven't reconsidered my flat portfolio, as it were, and I won't really be in that kind of in that mindset until the middle of April at the earliest, I think.
Fair enough. I am interested. It's a very obvious one, sorry, but I'm interested to see how Caravaggio gets on as a 3-year-old, because he was obviously an unbelievably exciting 2-year-old. Showed all that pace at sprint distances. We've seen a few times with Aidan O'Brien's runners that they maybe don't train on quite as well to 3, or they don't handle the step up to a mile for the guineas.
Yeah,
but he looks special, so I'm really intrigued to see how he gets on this year.
Yeah,
just throw an obvious one out.
Yeah,
there.
I know, and you get Churchill in there as well, and yeah. I think everyone remembers what happened last year with Air Force Blue.
Yeah,
he's. Air Force Blue was by a sire who's now getting a reputation of having absolutely brilliant 2-year-olds who don't train on.
Yeah.
Whereas I think there's a lot more chance of both Churchill and Caravaggio training on. Caravaggio was the more spectacular when he won at Royal Ascot, for example. But I think Churchill's been the slow burner, yeah. And the horse who's just always given the impression that he's been very professional, but also learning all the time, and he's physically robust enough to suggest he will do even better at 3. So he's the clear pick there. But there's no prizes for suggesting an Aidan O'Brien hyped. Let's leave the hype out of it. But an Aidan O'Brien top 2-year-old is going to do well at 3. That's kind of par for the course.
Yeah. Yeah, I did say it was obvious, but
yeah, not having a dig at you. There's no point in me
coming out, back, Rory.
Coming out with the same sort of thing as well. So
yeah.
let's wait and see what happens in the early weeks of the season, and you'll get an idea of what might be coming from left field then.
Okay, that's the Monday jury for another week. Then let's move on to Tuesday. We'll get Rory's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Tuesday's action then. We'll spin through these in time order. So we start at Southwell in the 240, which is a handicap chase over just short of 3 miles. We've got a field of 6 of them set to go to post for this one. Rory, who'd you like in there?
If she's fit, I think Dawny River's going to take an awful lot of beating. And she looks well placed in this contest. So I think, given most of these are coming into the race in moderate form, there's a lot to like about her. She won 3 in a row in the summer and autumn, Carmel, Utoxeter and Plumpton on goodish grounds, and she's been given a break because she doesn't really want softer ground. She was beaten on soft at Fakenham, although ran perfectly well, and then she was only 4th at Cheltenham in December, but she ran a really good race that day. She looked the winner at the second last and just didn't quite get home under quite an aggressive ride. So back in this sort of company and off the same mark as she was at Cheltenham, she looks ahead of her mark, and there are negatives. I mean, Duke Arcadio's pulled up in his last couple of starts. Azur de Coeur, who'd be reasonably well fancied, has got 12-1 to carry. And Venetia Williams had 3 runners yesterday who all ran absolutely deplorably. I mean, they were all beaten after a couple of 100 yards.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a little bit of a worry for her yard at the moment. So Dawny River ticks more boxes than most.
Dawny River, the selection in the 240 at Southwell. Then moving to Wolverhampton next for their 320. And this one is a Class 5 handicap. It's over 7 furlongs. And we've got a field of 10 set to go to post for this one. I suppose a lot of people will be looking at the likes of Revel, who's relatively lightly raced off the mark last time as well, Rory. On the shortlist for yourself?
Yeah, Revel has to be on the shortlist. The question is what kind of price you're going to get about him. He's shown promise on all 3 maiden starts. The first one, when he set off a massive price at Newmarket in October, he was a big eye catcher finishing in midfield, and he's gradually stepped up on that. Was beaten favourite in the maiden at Linkfield, but then won well in his handicap debut at Kempton over a mile, and I think the expectation will be that he will improve a fair bit further, and I see him being not far off even money here. That's not my kind of price to bet at. There's a slight question mark about the drop in trip. The horse he beat last time out was a stayer, Pobbles, who wasn't given a great ride either. So although Revel seemed to win with plenty in hand, drop out to 7 furlongs is a slight question mark. Not a massive one, but you know, we're talking degrees here and short prices. So assuming that Revel is, you know, 11-8, 5-4 for this, you know, it could be a 3-1 shot. If it's a 3-1 shot, I'd be getting stuck in. But we are guessing a little bit. I thought a reasonable alternative would be Dark Destroyer, who also scored at Kempton last time out. He beat a horse called Tricorn. Tricorn, trained by John Gosden, has won his next two, including bolting up in a handicap of a mark of 75 last time out. Dark Destroyer beat him by a length and a quarter, fairly comfortably, and is also rated 75. Now, it's dangerous to assume that, you know, he would be keeping the same distance ahead of Tricorn at this stage. That one's more likely raced than him, but he's getting his act together. He's got a couple of decent speed figures as well. He caught the eye in a that yearling race at the Goffs race at York in August, finishing midfield. They're not beaten very far on disadvantageous terms, and he again went very close to winning a maiden at Lingfield in his penultimate start. So he's getting his act together, and the Son of Helmet looks reasonably well handicapped at 75. The slight worry with him is he's drawn a stall 10. You don't want to be drawn too wide here, but there's a bit of dead wood in this race and he should be able to get across, and hopefully if the favourite is very short, then Dark Destroyer will be an each way price. And if he is, then I'll be backing him each way.
Dark Destroyer then each way. Keep an eye on what Revel does in the market as well. The 330 at Hexham is up next. This is a class 4 handicap hurdle, 2.5 miles is the trip for this one. A field of 10 set to go to post. A few of these in form as well, the likes of Modulus and Vertigo. What's your pick in there, Rory?
Modulus is the pick. Reasonably straightforward, to be honest. He's a horse in the form of his life at the moment, and if the going description in advance is heavy for this meeting. It's a bit of a bugbear of mine that sometimes you'll read advanced going descriptions and on the day it'll be good to soft, I'd like to see more of an indication of what the going is going to be like. But if it's heavy, then that will suit the selection down to the ground, because I think he's had 3 runs on heavy. He's won all 3 of them. He also won on good soft at Sedgefield last time out. That was a career best. Clearly going back onto softer ground will not bother him. He's not run at this kind of track before. Hexham's a bit of a lawn to itself, and a few of these are course winners. But otherwise, everything seems set fair for him. He's improved for being tried in a visor, winning 3 of his 4 starts since using that headgear. And I quite like the Winks team. You know, there's a bit of fun poked at Ryan Winks. Because he's a professional crooner, as is his father, and so it's all their enterprise has been looked on as a little bit of a joke. But he's improved a lot in the last year as a jockey, he's been getting winners. And if the horses are good enough to do the job, Ryan rarely lets them down these days. So Modulus has shown that in recent times. He's only up £3 for his last win. So I think he's the one to beat again.
Let's have a quick summary of your selections then before you go, Rory. 3 picks for Tuesday. Just spin us through them.
Donny River in the 240 at Southall.
Yeah.
In the 320 at Wolverhampton, I fancy Dark Destroyer. And in the 330 at Hexham, Modulus should take the beating.
Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday, Rory.
Thank you very much.
There you go. My thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Stephen Powell, Kevin O'Malley and Andrew Mount in the studio. It's Hexham, Southwell and Wolverhampton. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.